jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And I don't know if it's possible for anybody to sleep any deeper than I slept last night. That's like two or three nights in a row. Then I'm unbelievable. And there's some of you out there struggling with sleep, and I feel for you. Goodness gracious, man, oh man, was that good. Bob and Tammy are still here. We've been doing a lot of work up at Sky High. Yesterday we had a guy came in with a, what they call that, on the back of a skid steer and dug those holes, bored those holes down for the tower to go in. It's amazing. I looked at Bob and said, man, I'm glad I didn't have to grab a shovel and do that one. So we got that bored in. We got the concrete truck coming today. I thought of you, Randy. I was going to order the concrete from you, Randy, but it'd been a long delivery. So the concrete truck's coming today. We laid the Bob Evans is. Do you guys know people like Bob Evans? And I'm not doing this just to butter him up. Bob wouldn't mind me saying it. He's probably not a book learned guy. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a college education. And I watched some of the things that he did last night and framing up that the hole that I'm telling you, the four posts that we're going to put in, you know, making sure it's 99 yards and 90, I'm measuring it and then doing a cross measurement. I to make sure it was square. I just stood back and thought, there is so much I don't know. And you know, friends, that's true of everything, isn't it? There's so much we don't know. So much. The Bible tells us that my people are destroyed. Why? They don't know. They don't know. And yesterday we talked about change the words, change the world, and we see how that's happening and everything that's going on around us. And I'm going to dive into a little bit more from that angle here even this morning. But my people are destroyed because we don't know. We just don't know. And the information feeds that we get and the people who tell us things and our sources aren't, it's like playing telephone, you know? I heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend that this COVID was fake. It's really the way our information travels, isn't it? Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. And the next thing we know, it's on the news. Next thing you know, everybody's wearing masks. I think it's been one of the most unbelievable psyops. I'm calling it a psyop, although maybe masks are important. But it has been one of the most unbelievable psyops in the history of man to see how quickly they were able to program all of us to do some type of activity. Whether you believe it's real or not, it doesn't even matter. The psyop is just, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And now they're talking about a second wave of COVID coming, and you see how programmed we already are. And you know, I don't want to dive into the thought of the mark of the beast and what the mark of the beast means. And is it a mark on your forehead? Is it a vaccination? Whatever it is. It doesn't matter to me. I can just tell you, I can see people lining up to do it. It's so real. It's so real. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't get it. We don't understand. Hey, I want to just emphasize again, July 17th, 18th, and 19th. Chad's working really, really hard on putting together a program for us, tactical training. Folks, please hear me. Please. You have got to be prepared to protect yourself. And like I said the other day, militia, good. BLM, bad. And for those of you out there, that's part of the programming. When you mention the constitutional militia, people normally think bad, violence, anti-government. No, that's not what it is, right? And so what we're trying to do with our tactical training here, tactical response, is to try to teach you how to be able to protect yourself and protect your family. You say, well, I have a gun. Okay, do you know how to shoot it? Do you know how to clean it? Do you know how to
I mean, there's just so many things involved. Say, well, I have a little 38 and I can shoot my 30. Okay, what can you shoot a rifle? Can you shoot a shotgun? What do you have in your room? If somebody comes into your house, breaks into your house in the middle of the night, what's the best weapon to pull out? Is it your little five banger on your gun? Is it your 12 gauge? Is it your AR? Those are the kind of things that we're going to be talking about. And then we're going to do some training. Gary's going to do some training with us as far as shortwave radio is and a means to communication. It would be nothing if they pulled the plug tomorrow and all of our communication went down. In fact, last week, I'm on T-Mobile. T-Mobile's nationwide network went down. We couldn't, you find out how dependent you are on your phone. None of us could get on the internet. Like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I can't get on the internet, right? And it could happen that quickly in that instant. And if it happens and we're not here, we don't have this show, how are we going to connect? So we're going to talk about that, some first aid and some other things. And we'd love for as many of you as can to come. You got to take care of your own housing. I don't have enough space to house everybody. But Larry's going to come and cook a couple meals for us. And we're just going to have a grand old time of fellowship and getting to know each other. So you have to register, folks. Listen, hear me. I haven't decided yet where, but I'm going to cut the numbers off. I'm not going to have 150 people here doing it. It's going to overwhelm us. So I have a cutoff point. And if you're not registered, no matter how much I love you, you're not coming. All right. So if you're interested in coming, you better go to CoachDaveLive.com and register for this event. It's free. You have to take care of your housing. You can camp on our territory. You can bring a camper. We got all kinds of space, but I don't have a lot of beds. Okay. I want to make that clear. Any questions about that? And Chad, you want to pipe in on anything about, since you're heading this thing up, Jamie Waldron's going to be with us. Gary Dono is going to do some teaching. Bobby Lee. We got several others going to go through. Larry's going to do some cooking. Chad, anything you want to add?
Well, I just want to add that, let's not wait until you get into a situation before you realize you probably should have a little bit more training.
Right.
You know, there's always something, even though I've been in this environment for 30 years or so, that I always still, you can always pick up something. I can always polish a little rust off. Just let, that's the objective here is what we're trying to do. Now, some guys, they're pretty handy, or ladies are pretty handy with the stuff, and some people aren't. And there'll be time that we'll be able to work with you individually. And so to improve you, so don't come because you think you're dumb or people are going to make fun of you, because that's not what's going to happen. We're going to support each other. We're going to make sure that you're moving a couple of notches in improvement.
And Chad, not only that, don't come if you think you're really, really good with a gun, because you can help others. You can help train others on what to do, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So again, especially the weapon that you're carrying, you need to become proficient on that. You need to, if you're got a concealed carry, it doesn't matter. If you carry a handgun, you need to know how to use it. You need to know how to use it. And just having it doesn't mean you know how to use it. So those are the kind of things that we're going to deal with. So we'd love to have you join, but you got to go to CoachDaveLive.com and register for it. I was up early this morning, slept great. I was up early. Bob and Tammy are here. Bob came out of the bedroom today, and he came out and had a cup of coffee, and he's already up sky high working already. Guy, I got, he'll put you in the grave. That guy's a worker, man. So anyway, I said to him, Bob, my greatest dilemma is where do I go? What do I talk about? There's so much going on. So much. And, it's all tied together. Psalm 2. The kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. And yesterday we talked about change the words, change the world. Look, I love for this to be biblically based and dig into biblical doctrine. I like doing that, okay? I like doing that. But at the same time, I want to apply biblical principles to what's going on around us, right? To be ready always to give an answer for the hope that's within you. To be able to understand what, like yesterday, grace, mercy, how often we interchange those two words, they don't mean the same thing. Judgment, justice, words that we just social justice. Realizing that justice is getting what you deserve, not what you don't deserve, either good or bad, right? So if you're not working, justice is not me giving you food. That's not justice. That's charity. Those aren't the same. You have no right to my food. You have no right to it. You have no right. The government has no right to steal money from me and give it to somebody. It's not working. That's not justice.
But because we've mixed those two terms together, we find ourselves, we are really, really, really floundering, aren't we, American-wise? I got to show you something yesterday. Hey, pull it up there if you could, Sheldon. The first thing I want to talk about real quickly is critocracy. You say, what? Yeah, critocracy. John Roberts, I'm sure you saw yesterday, they got something on John Roberts on the whole abortion thing. See, it's about women's health care, right? It's about women's health care. So the state of Louisiana had a law on the state books that said in order for somebody to perform abortions, they have to have privileges at a local hospital. So if something were to go wrong during an abortion, a doctor has to have admitting rights at a local hospital so they could transport the woman to the hospital and the doctor could follow. Well, a lot of these abortionists are such bad doctors, I've been told, that they don't have admitting privileges. Hospitals won't. Abortionists are the dregs of the medical profession. So they don't have admitting rights at the local hospitals. So the state of Louisiana made it a law saying, you don't have admitting privileges, you can't be an abortionist. Well, the Supreme Court heard the case, and guess what? John Roberts, again, sided 5-4 with the liberals, with abortionists. John Roberts sided with it, right?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I was telling people, I said, I told you so. But the fact of the matter, it was a law that applies to any outpatient surgery.
Oh, not just abortionists, huh?
No, it was not triggered just against them. If you're a foot doctor, if you do any kind of, I don't care if you're a doctor in your own. So they were just holding them to the same standards that any other doctor was to be held to.
Thank you for that clarification, Dale. Thank you. So, if your doctor doesn't have a hospital that he can take you to after an outpatient surgery or whatever, you're not allowed to practice that law. I mean, that women's rights, right? We're worried about women. Women's health? Evidently not. So I want to introduce you today maybe to a new word. Some of you will be new. Some of you won't be new. It's called critocracy. Do you have it up there, Sheldon? I got two different ones I want to show you. Bear with me, folks. Yeah, there you go. He put up the Wikipedia on one first. This is a critocracy. Notice it's with an I, K-R-I. And that was a system of rule by biblical judges, a critocracy. In other words, government by judges, right? In the tribal confederacy of ancient Israel during the period of time described in the book of Judges following Joshua's conquest of Canaan and prior to the united monarchy under Saul. Because the name is compound in the Greek word critic or whatever, its colloquial use has expanded to cover rule by judges in a modern sense as well. Critocracy. So Sheldon, pull up the other thing under critocracy there. It's a real quick YouTube video. This is what we're dealing with. This is not a democracy. It's not a democracy. Sheldon, I think you can kick this about time and a half speed. But again, we've got to realize, the left has, the Psalm 2 people have seized the courts. They've seized the courts. Most of them unelected judges. The Supreme Court certainly judges for life. No recourse, really. We do have recourse under bad behavior. The Congress is supposed to call them back in and discipline. Of course, they're not going to do that. So I want you to see this real quick video on government by judges called Critocracy. Go ahead. Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dottemeyer, News with Views. Pause that a second. I put it at 1.25. I forgot this. I forgot what I made my notes. I made this video back in 2014 explaining what critocracy was. Now I'm caught with it. Go ahead. Go ahead and play it.
TV at newswithviews.com. Appreciate you spending some time with us today. We become so woefully inadequate and uninformed in regards to history. And a part of that has been done purposefully. Our government educational system has dumbed down the populace. There's no question that's going on. And
folks, I want you to look at that picture.
nine people control the direction of America. Actually, five. Look at them in there. Look at them. Five people are controlling the direction of America. Go ahead. You'll hear them repeat the people in positions of authority specifically. They'll talk about what a great thing democracy is. Now, folks, we've said this many times on some of these videos. America is not a democracy. America is a constitutional republic, meaning we have elected officials who represent us, a representative government based on the Constitution being the set of rules, regulations upon which everyone is supposed to abide. But they've been telling us it's a democracy, and one of the reasons they want to tell us that is because democracy is nothing more than mob rule. And as we can see, what's going on in America today is if they can bring in more people and make them dependent on government, then those people will vote for more government dependency. That's why democracy is such a dangerous thing. But secretly, something else that's been going on, which is even more deadly, is America is not even not a democracy, and America is, we're getting away from this idea of a Republican form of government. We have become a crytocracy. K-R-Y-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y. Crytocracy. It's an Old Testament term out of the book of Judges, and a crytocracy is government by judges. That's what's killing us in America today. Folks, judges were never elected to make laws. But we've seen that happen all throughout America. In fact, we go running to our telephones and we go running in front of our TVs whenever the latest Supreme Court decision comes down because we can't wait to hear what the judges are going to rule because that new decision by the judges becomes the law of the land. But it doesn't. You know, we're in a situation here in Columbus, Ohio, before a judge. We were doing some demonstration outside of a local church that is at one of those social justice churches. And we're bringing awareness, Christians to Christian, bringing awareness that this church is basically promoting communist doctrine.
It's muted
to the
for
people.
Some reason.
The church took us to court, which they're not supposed to do, and said that we're not allowed to stand out there. And we said there's a buffer law. You know, there's 60 feet on each side of the road that's public thoroughfare, sidewalks. But there's no sidewalk in front of this church. So they went to a judge and they tried to get us for trespassing and they presented evidence to the judge. And of course we called in the city and the county and the state officials who testified.
Sheldon. Go ahead. If it's not going to play audio, just go ahead and pull it down. Just go ahead. Cause we don't have the audio. I don't know what happened, folks. Don't know what happened. Hey, by the way, I've got all kinds of videos like this at Coach Dave Live under our video setting, right? All kinds of stuff there. And all you got to do is go register at the website. I don't know what to get into all these things. It's all right there at our website. Hundreds of great little videos like this that you can use as a means of a Bible study with your, get a group of people in your house, play one of these videos and discuss all of it. If you have not started a home fellowship, I'm telling you, you can go to our website, CoachDaveLive.com. There are more topics on our website than just what you're probably going to find just about anywhere. And you get a group of people together, you throw up all on the TV, you play one of the videos, and you go to the scriptures, and you discuss what you just
what Jared's you just muted.
Yeah, it's all muted. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we hear you talking.
Okay, good. You can hear me, but the screen, okay. So, folks, I'm just telling you, make use of our web. Start a home group. Make use of the videos we have. It brings up these topics that we are so ignorant about. All right, cool. I'm sorry about the sound. Don't know what happened with that. It's the devil, whether it's the devil or not. Yes, come in.
If it makes any sense, down the left corner, it said Roger Weaver muted John Smith. I don't know what that was about.
Oh, is that right?
Even though there's no sidewalk there, there's a right of way.
Ah, there it is. John Smith's muted. Unmute yourself, John. Okay, go ahead and play it then. We'll finish it out.
There's a passageway on both sides of the road. You know what the judge determined? The judge determined, he didn't care what all the experts said, he decided that there is no right for us to be able to stand on that right of way because there is no official sidewalk there. He actually told us that we could stand in the streets. This is crytocracy, government by judges. Did you ever ask yourself, where do these guys get the authority to make these decisions? Or we look at the Supreme Court decision, some of the latest ones have come down, they've been 5-4. You mean to tell me the life of a baby is determined by a 5-4 vote? We can't even determine whether or not, we can't have a unanimous decision on whether or not an unborn baby is alive. 5-4? Government by judges.
That's not the way our system was designed, folks. And until we realize that all a court decision is an opinion, that's why they call them opinions, a court opinion, laws are written by Congress, by our elected officials. And for judges to come in and usurp the power of the legislature and begin to make law is government by judges, a critocracy. Americans need to wake up and understand what's going on around us and fight to reclaim the constitutional government that this nation was founded on. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer at newswithhughes.tv and newswithhughes.com. We'll see you next time.
You think Judge John Roberts is influenced by outside activities, folks? Huh? You think so? Is John Roberts getting his palm greased in ways that we don't know? Is it possible to buy off Supreme Court justices in a way that we wouldn't see? Is it possible to buy off federal judges? Is the law really determined by Democrat and Republican positions? Should we really expect a Democrat to have a different view of life than a Republican? Isn't there really just one view of life? The baby is either alive or it isn't, right? It's either alive or it isn't. Hospital privileges should apply or they shouldn't apply. They should apply to everybody or apply to nobody. How did they become politicized? They've become politicized because we don't understand the system. We don't understand. That's what I want to try to help you out with. Sheldon, if you could pull up the first thing that I think I sent you today. It says Romans, the video of Venezuela, although that's not what it is. Pull it up, because I want to walk you through something here this morning. Somebody come on in if you want to. I'm kind of,
hey, Coach.
I know where I'm going, although I'm kind of rattling here. Go ahead.
You don't have to buy off Supreme Court judges. Supreme Court judges would not even get on the short list if they didn't have enough on them to control them. They don't have to buy them off. They're already bought, paid for, and absolutely controlled.
We don't want to believe that, Jack. We don't want to believe that, Jack.
Okay, don't. That's fine. Don't. Just we're good with this. Hands king, over eyes.
Right. The kings of this world conspire against the Lord and His anointed. Right? Huh? Stacked right. Deck. Hometown referees. Right? Come on, wake up, folks. Come on, then. Somebody.
Okay, let's do one more thing, Coach. I've been asking representatives, what test did you pass to get a license to write laws to make me pass a test to get a license?
Amen, brother. Hey, can I throw something else? This whole thing about him being on the Lolita flights, what other John Roberts is going to get on those flights? It's just like, where was George H.W. Bush when JFK was assassinated? He says he can't place it.
Okay, Benny, so we know what, as George Carlin said, that it's a big club and you ain't in it. So listen, we got to wake up.
That's right.
Listen, I want to show you the roots of it. Because we went in yesterday and we talked about change the world, words change the world. I want to try to piggyback on top of that today if I could, all right? And so we have up on the screen Romans 1, chapter 1, 18, verse 32, all of Romans 1. Because I want to show you, this is what's going on, okay, folks? This is what not only Psalm 2, kings of this world conspiring, but Romans 1, beginning specifically in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed. It's already, what we are seeing is the evidence of God's wrath. What's happening to America today is God is saying, all right, you're going to do what you're going to do? All right, go ahead, do what you're going to do. Giving us over to a reprobate mind, they said, right? But it is the wrath of God that's being revealed to us, right? We think the wrath of God is fire and brimstone. He's going to come down and destroy them. Not always. Sometimes the wrath of God, he just pulls away. I had enough of it. So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So when God sees his laws and rules and regulations and precepts spat upon, or I'm trying to think of a good word there, it ticks him off. God gets mad. And he's mad because that which may be known of God is obvious to them. It's obvious. Hey, a baby's a person. Come on. Come on. For God showed it to him. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, which is us. We understand even his eternal power and his authority, his Godhead, so that what? We are without excuse. If you run into somebody on the street
and they tell you that it's okay to kill an unborn baby because it's not a human being, they are without excuse. Why? Because it's revealed to them. They know better, folks. They know better. Why? Because that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful. In fact, they got ticked off at him because he kept making rules and regulations that they were supposed to follow. In their heart, they knew he was God. They understood that. But neither were they thankful. But they became vain, empty in their imaginations. It all starts in the head, doesn't it? And what happened? Their foolish heart became darkened. And then, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They got on the Supreme Court and said that a man can marry a man and said that a human being's not a human being and on and on and on and on. Professing themselves to be wise, they became Supreme Court justices. And when they did that, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image and made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And they, in other words, they denied the creation that God had made. So the God also gave them up then to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It became physical. And then they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature. They worshiped and served the environment. They worshiped and served people other than the creator. They worshiped and served institutions. They worshiped and served knowledge. They worshiped and served all of these other things rather than the creator. And then for this cause, because what cause? Because they worshiped and served other things other than God, God gave them up to vile affections. Even the women did change the natural use unto them, which is against nature. See, sex was designed for procreation. Any sex that does not involve procreation is hedonistic, pleasure sensitive. That doesn't mean a husband and a wife aren't permitted to engage and sexual activity after their childbearing years or every, see, there's a possibility that a child could be created during every sex act. That's why it's not hedonistic. That's why it's an expression of love in the bonds of marriage, okay? This is also the men acted the same stupid way. Isn't it funny the women started first? Sorry, girls. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what it, hey, an aside, time out a minute. Rush Limbaugh must be listening to Coach Dave. If you did not get a chance to hear Rush Limbaugh, I think it was the first or second hour yesterday. I was mowing. I was out on the mower. So I got my earbuds in. You got to go listen to it. Because he talks specifically about college-educated women being lured into this foolishness that we see going on. And that the women, college-educated young women, are the scourge of America. They've thrown off all restraint. Men cower in the corner, afraid to speak the truth, while the women are vicious. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Feminism run amok. And isn't it amazing? For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women, the women started. Sorry, I didn't say it. I didn't say it, right wing watch. God said it. And then the men followed suit, leaving the natural use of the women. Go listen to that Russ segment. You'll be blessed. Burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. So then, since men were doing that, we got to legalize it. We got to put those guys who have exchanged the truth for a lie and put them on the Supreme Court, and then they legalize abhorrent behavior. That's all that's going on. See, they call it liberty. And then even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, John Roberts would say he was a Catholic, but my Catholic values, they don't apply to the society, right? How stupid is that, right? And they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to stupid thoughts, to do those things which are not convenient. A man having sex with another man ain't convenient, boys and girls. Killing a baby ain't convenient. You follow me? And then it goes on down, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to take time. You guys know what they are. These are, hey, this is the judgment of God. This doesn't bring the judgment of God. This is the judgment of God. Why? Because godly men did not stand up and resist it and fight against it. So this judgment, this plague is falling all across America. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Going down, Shell, just to the last verse, because here's where we're all mentioned. See, I didn't do any of those things. Woo. Says, who knowing the judgment of God, that'd be me and you. that they which do such things are worthy of death. Whoa, what does that mean? Is he talking about spiritual death? I'll let you figure that one out. But those who knowing the judgment of God, church-going folk, who know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Why, we not only do the same, but we elect conservative Republicans who give them permission to do them. Critocracy. Government by judges. Come on in a minute. I'm taking you somewhere today.
Well, I keep putting in 1 Corinthians 6:9. There's a problem with the translation of the word malakoi, and that's a big thing as what's deceiving us.
Here's the problem, Vinny. We've lost all morality.
Amen, brother.
Right. I don't care what governmental system you have. If it's moral, it will succeed. It will succeed. Sheldon, pull up down at the bottom. It says our problems are moral. There's a short little YouTube video there from Frank Turek, because they've lied to us, my friends, and they've told us that you cannot legislate morale. We've heard that, right? We've heard that. See, Sheldon, move it to about the 30-second mark. All morality, all legislation, friends, is somebody's morality. All of it is. All legislation is the codification into law of somebody's moral beliefs. That's all it is. That's all it is. All right? When they tell you they can't legislate morality, they're lying to you. So Frank Turek does about a 2-minute clip here. It's pretty good. Pretty good on about legislating morality. Go ahead real quick.
Somebody who said that.
I would say, first of all, what is morality? Morality is about right and wrong. And when you think about it, all laws legislate morality. Every law says one behavior is right and the opposite behavior is wrong, at least in a legal sense. So all laws legislate morality. The only question is whose morality? Even on the volatile issue of abortion, both sides are trying to legislate morality. Obviously, the pro-life side wants to impose continued pregnancy on the mother. That's a moral position. But the pro-abortion side wants to impose death on the baby whenever abortion is chosen. That is a moral position. Also notice the pro-abortion side says that the father has no moral right to make a choice. The baby obviously has no moral right to life. The only person that has a moral right is the mother. Well, that is a moral position. Every position in politics virtually is a moral position. Both sides, conservatives, liberals, everyone in between, are trying to legislate morality. The only question is whose morality? And the morality I think we ought to legislate is the morality that isn't mine, isn't yours, but ours. The one that was given to us by the Creator, and the one that Thomas Jefferson said is self-evident, that we all understand that there are certain unalienable rights, and the first right is life, because without the right to life, you don't have anything. The right to life is the right to all other rights. If you don't have life, you don't have anything. That's why it's listed first in the Declaration of Independence. So everybody's trying to legislate morality. The only question is whose.
Well said, Dr. Turek. Thank you there very you much. Well, more information on Dr. Turek's ministry.
Okay, so ask yourself this. Is there a thing such as right and wrong? Is there a right and a wrong? Folks, there's some such things called absolutes. Hey, Sheldon, that'd be a great Webster's. Go to Webster's, if you could, Sheldon, real quick. Absolute. Is there absolute truth? Yeah, come in.
Coach, I think right and wrong are, by definition, subjective definitions or subjective things. However, the Bible is very, very clear. There is good and evil.
There is. And so absolute truth, absolute means literally in a general sense, free, independent of anything extraneous. Hence, complete in itself, unconditional, existing independent of any other cause. Unlimited by extraneous power or control or government edicts. Not relative. Absolute space. Absolute. Without any variation. Standalone. Absolute truth. See, we don't have that. That's why Jesus said, as my friend Pastor Tom Gill said to me yesterday, Jesus is the truth, and every attack on the truth is an attack on Jesus. He is the truth, right? And because they, it was right there in Romans 1. They didn't want to worship God. And so they created systems and laws and rulers who would let them do whatever they wanted to do. That's what we're talking about. So I got a couple things I want to show you here today. Am I doing okay? I'm doing okay. I know I am. I know I'm doing okay. Which one I want you to pull up here, Sheldon? Here's what I want you to do, brother. Our problems are more moral. See, we want to reject truth, absolute truth. We want to reject it. And Oprah Winfrey says, your truth. Or, well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. That is an absolute lie. That's an absolute lie. Okay, so Sheldon, pull up. Oh, Lord, how do I do this? What do I do? What is Marxism? I'm going to open this up right now. Because remember, if you can't explain it, if you can't teach it, you can pause it a second. If you can't teach it, you don't know it. Can somebody give me a definition of Marxism? I'm waiting. Don't cheat. Don't you Google it right now. Don't you cheat. If I put you in a corner and said, stand up here. Hey, Glenn, stand up here and tell everybody what Marxism is. Could you explain it, Glenn?
Well, I'd have to look that one up.
Yeah. At least you're honest. Huh? Have to look that one up, right? It's all around us and we don't know what it is. We don't recognize it, see?
Communism.
What is that? Socialism. What is that? What's the difference between Marxism, communism, and socialism? Change the words, change the world, right? Right? Come on. And that's all they do, see? That's all they do. They get mad when you call them Marxists today. They're not Marxists. Can somebody tell me what they are? No, they're progressives now, right? The kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, and they are fooling Christians right and left. Why? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You can't even, most of you could not stand up in front of a group of people and explain what Marxism was. Couldn't do it.
Where are you going?
Right? Couldn't do it. So let's play this real quick video. Again, Sheldon, I think you can kick this thing off at about 1.5, I think so. This is called The Curious Classroom. I just found this morning. This is what Marxism is. Marxism is the root of communism, which is the father of socialism, which is the father of environmentalism, which is the father of Agenda 2030, which is the, it's all connected. It has to do with the virus. It has to do with masks. It has to do with social distancing. It is all connected. Go and play this real quick.
Philosopher Karl Marx. Marx was born in Germany in 1818 and died in London in 1883. He's buried in Highgate Cemetery in North London. Marxism is what is known as a conflict theory because it states that society is in conflict with each other, and Marxism claims that this conflict is between the rich and the poor. Now, Marxism, as we understand it as sociologists, is a political and economic philosophy, a view of the way things are now, and suggestions as to where society is headed. The danger is that we start to view it based on what we understand about its relationship to communism and the politics and oppression of the old Soviet Union. Marx never saw communism in this way. He saw it as liberation and as a leveller, a way of creating a fairer society and of a way of getting the best out of all people, not just those with money and power. To really understand Marxism, we need to start with its opposite, capitalism. Capitalism represents the type of society you and I live in today. In Marx's terms, it's an economic system based on private ownership of the means of production. What this means is that our society today is based on a few people who own factories, businesses, shops, and other corporations. These corporations aren't owned by the people who work for them, the employees, or jointly by the employees and the owners, but by the owners only. Marx was formulating his theories during the Industrial Revolution, a time when Britain and other countries were going through a very dramatic change. The old feudal system, when lords of the manor owned the land, meant that the ordinary people had freedom and rights to all land. It was held in common. When the government passed a number of enclosure acts in the 1700s and 1800s, ordinary people no longer had the right to live on this land, and many of them were forced to pack up and move to the towns and the cities, which were beginning to grow due to the increase in factories and textile mills. Whereas previously people were free to keep their own animals and grow their own crops on common land, once they reached the cities, they had to find work in the factories, in the employment of the factory owners. The work was hard and often dangerous, and the pay was very poor. Many factory owners didn't want to pay high wages, because this would mean less profit for them, so children were often used as cheap labour. The Industrial Revolution promoted a capitalist way of thinking, what we call a capitalist ideology, and also created two distinct groups of people. The factory owners, who were middle class, Marx called these the bourgeoisie, and the workers, or working class, Marx called these the proletariat. Marx was on the side of the proletariat, because he saw them as being treated unfairly by the factory owners. Not only did Marx see them as being treated unfairly, or being oppressed, he also saw the system as one that tried very hard to make sure that the poor stayed poor and the rich continued to get richer. So Marxism views capitalist society as being based on a system that encourages inequality, because the rich will always need someone to do the work they don't want to do. It's called a conflict theory because society is in conflict, the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie. However, Marx also suggested that at some point the working class would realise that they had the power to change things. Through education and personal development, some members of the proletariat would begin to understand the system better and devise ways of changing it. Marx believed that such radical change could only come about through revolution, when the workers rise up and overthrow those who were treating them unfairly. In place of capitalism, a new system would be established, in which all people were treated equally, and all the factories and businesses were owned by everyone. In other words, they were communally owned. Marx called this system communism.
Wow. So here, folks, it always comes down to control. To control. And the failures in capitalism are the immorality of the people involved. And the immorality of it. The real fight that we're always going to have in whatever economic world system we have is who makes the rules and who is in charge, right? So in the communist, in the capitalist system, the way the capitalist free enterprise system is supposed to work, we, the people, elect our representatives who defend our rights. That's the capitalistic system. We call that democracy or a republic. Communism is a government in control of everything, and the government at the top controls everybody below. How do you get to the government at the top? Well, that's corrupt also. So both capitalism and communism are corrupted because they are controlled by what? Psalm 2, the kings of this world conspiring against liberty, honesty, and morality. That is what's going on. It's not the system that is the problem. It's the values that are not being followed in either one of those systems. A communistic system based on Christian values could, in fact, work. It could work. But the idea that you take from the rich and give to the poor a communist value is called covetousness. It is anti-Christ from the very beginning. Okay, I'm going somewhere, but I'm going to shut up and let somebody come in and add something to that.
Coach, I once heard it said that as bad as communism is ungodly capitalism.
That's Gary. Look at all the folks. Look at all the socialism, which is a version of communism. It's a version of Marxism. It's a soft communism, socialism. Folks, look around. Look how much communism, socialism we already have in America. Look at your schools. I just got my property tax value, property taxes. 67% of my property tax goes to schools. Free schools. Well, the schools aren't free. I'm being forced by my neighbor in a vote of 51% to 49% at the last levy. I'm being forced by my neighbor to subsidize his children's education. That's socialism. Hey, we had a fire ballot, a fire protection thing on the ballot. And somebody determined 51 to 49 that we were all going to chip in on the fire department. That is a form of socialism. It's a form of Marxism. It's a community coming together to provide services that everyone's going to benefit from. If we look around, friends, there is socialism everywhere throughout our society. What do you think the welfare system is? What do you think that is? It's socialism. But it's not socialism because it's not godly socialism because it doesn't require anything of the people who are receiving. You don't work, you don't eat. Charity is the idea that out of the goodness of my heart, I decide I'm going to help this person. The government can't come in, take my money to help somebody else. That is a form of socialism. America is already socialist. Come on in.
You know, Coach, back in 1968, I went over and lived in Sweden for 2 years as a dependent from my dad. He was going to school over there. And Sweden was probably the most notable socialist country in the world, maybe still be. And they were, you know, blowing their horns and whistles and saying how great they were, the whole world pointing to their society. But yet living over there in that society, it was, I don't care what hardware store you went into, from all the way up in Lapland, all the way down to Jutland down below, whatever hardware store you went into, every single product was exactly the same price in every store. And, hey, dental care was free, but go get your teeth pulled without Novocaine. Go get your teeth drilled and a filling put in without Novocaine, because the system didn't have enough. It had enough money for free dental care, but it didn't have enough money to provide Novocaine to the dentist. Uh-huh. All government programs are only as good as the morals of the people that run them.
So I have to go today. I have an appointment with my cardiologist, my sixth month checkup or whatever. I'm healthy as a horse, doing great, by the way. Thanks. I am forced into Medicare. I have to have Medicare. Folks, that's socialism. That's Social Security. It's socialism. If you think that you paid money into the Social Security fund and there's a little pot in there with your name on it and you're just pulling back out of that, you're crazy. Social Security robs from those who are now working to pay for those who are now retirement. Socialism is everywhere in America. It's everywhere. Our problems are moral, right? They're moral problems, folks. They're moral. I say again, a moral communism could work. But the communism would have to be on the precepts of God. When you remove the precepts of God, it's open season. So what did it declare to us in 1947? That there was a separation between the church and the state. Therefore, God was no longer our provider or our sustainer. The government becomes that. And the oligarchs, the kritocracy, took over. And we get to vote for conservatives, so they'll put in the right judges to rule over us.
Amen.
5-4. So you see where we are, friends? And the average Christian doesn't have any. I got to move.
The millennial kingdom will be exactly that. Millennial kingdom will be a dictatorship run by a benevolent dictator.
Amen. One you can trust is going to make the right decisions for the good of the people, right? Folks, people aren't making decisions for the good of the people. They're not making through it. So listen, I got to throw this out because I'm running out of time. Hey, pull up I got so much. Pull up Agenda 2030 at the bottom. How many of you have heard of this? Or better yet, how many of you, if I called you up in front of your church, or better yet, how about if you stood up in the middle of the church and said, hey, pastor, could you please explain to us what Agenda 2030 is? How many think you would get a response from your pastor? My people are destroyed because they don't know what's going on.
Right? That's Obama.
Obama. Agenda 2030. Folks, this means they want this agenda in place by 2030. They want it. That's why. Who does the communist, socialist, Marxist United Nation wants to impose through a kritocracy all of this stuff on you rich Americans? All right? Now, here's five things you need to know about the 20 agenda for sustainable development. Heard that one? You heard? I got a chart on that too. Sustainable development. Sounds good, doesn't it? Can somebody explain what sustainable development is? Well, I will here in a second. So here we are. Number one, the 2030 agenda applies to all countries and actors. In other words, America loses its independence. I'm not going to read it. You can do. two. The number two, the SDGs, which are, I forget what the heck is that. Socially developmental, sustainable developmental goals. Thank you. That came back to me. Okay. They are interlinked. They're all interlinked. COVID-19, masks, everything. It's about reducing and controlling population. Number three, it leaves no one behind, meaning sustainable development makes everyone economically, socially equal by the communists. They're doing this. Number four, Agenda 2030. I'm sure you heard about that in your church, didn't you? The development must be smart. It's not risk-informed. It's not sustainable. Sustainable meaning, are you ready? You can't cut down trees. You can't cut down trees. We're cutting down way too many trees. And so if we continue to cut down trees and we continue to build houses, we're going to run out of water. So therefore, what we have to do, first of all, we have to reduce the population, and then we have to put everybody into population zones. We have to move everybody into high-rise apartments in New York City. Folks, this is Sustainable Development Goals 2030. And number five, everyone is needed. Oh, they love that. We're all in this together, right? All in this together. Okay. When's the last sermon you heard about this at your church? You didn't, did you? Okay, real quickly, because I'm in a hurry here. Something happened here on my computer over here. Hey, Sheldon, pull up what is sustainable development? Click on that one.
Hey, while he's pulling that up, you know, China 2 days ago started destroying farmers' houses and building high-rise buildings in the center of a whole group of farms for them to live in. 2 days ago, they started a new program of doing that.
Coming here, folks. Hey, folks, come on. They're gonna get us out of the country, and they're gonna get us into the cities. They're gonna reduce the population. Hey, Sheldon, I gave you the wrong thing because I'm out. I'm short on time. Sheldon, please go to 17 goals. It says 17 goals. Click on that real quickly here. Because again, I'm sorry if this isn't spiritual enough for you this morning. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Scroll up a little bit, Sheldon. Sustainable development. Keep going. It's going to show us the 17 goals of sustainable development. Keep going. I think I gave you the right one. There it is, I think. Nope. Keep going, Sheldon. Sorry, bud. There it is. Well, I got a different one for you. Shoot. Somebody save me here.
Coach, have you noticed that all the signs in everybody's yard, at least around here, the "We're in this together," at the bottom of it, the fine print is the Nazarene Church.
But we're all in it together. We're all in it together. Because again, folks, this stuff has infiltrated our churches, okay? Now, I had this chart. Lord, where did I have this chart to show you the goals of the 17 goals? Lord, where did I put that? There it is. I got it there. Global goal. Maybe I didn't send it. Sheldon, I bet I didn't send it to you. Hang on there, folks. Please bear with me a second. It's worth seeing. Coming your way here, Sheldon. Promise. Let's do this real quickly. You see, folks, you see how this is all connected? Do you see Romans 1? Do you see Psalm 2? Do you see it all? Do you see Critocracy? Do you see what they're doing to us? So, Sheldon, I just emailed you a little chart that you can throw up on the screen. This is Pollyannic. This whole thing is Pollyannic in that these goals are not sustainable. They say they are, but they are not. And it is nothing more than the control. It's the elimination of God and the control of people is all that it is. It is the worship of the creature more than the creator. That's what it is. Sheldon, as soon as you get that email, shoot that up there for me.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, when are they going? When's Antifa and Black Lives Matter going to start burning all their Ben Franklin's? He owned a couple of slaves, didn't he, old Ben?
But Adam, they're not going to do that because it doesn't advance these goals, see? We have to understand that, folks, right?
I know. But, I'm just throwing it out there, Coach, you know?
Okay, here's the 17 goals of globalism, all right? Sustainable development. Goals 2030. No poverty. Yeah, right. Stay right there, Sheldon. Zero hunger. Oh, yeah, we'll get there. Good health and well-being. That's nebulous. Quality education that they teach, by the way. Gender equality. Clean water and sanitation. Affordable and clean energy. Decent work and economic growth. Industry. They want to turn Zambia into Columbus, Ohio. By taking from me and providing these things in Zambia, right? The Lord said they'll be poor always. They'll always be poor. Industrial innovation and infrastructure. Reduced inequalities. Ooh, sounds good. Sustainable cities and communities. Responsible consumption. Ooh, food rationing. Climate action. Yeah, we got to go up and take control of the climate away from God and give it to scientists, right? Life below water. Take care of those fishies. Life on land. Who wouldn't be for all of this stuff, right? Peace, justice, and strong institution and partnerships for these goals. Boy, doesn't that sound good? It's all Marxists, communists, and churches are buying into it.
Coach.
And people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Come on in, Joe.
1 Timothy 6:10.
Read it for me, brother.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Amen, Joe. Boy, oh boy. Folks, is that ever it? Is that ever it? And if you think, does anybody, let me rephrase this. You will find one rare duck if you run into somebody not motivated by money. Yeah, that'd be a rare duck. It'd be a rare one. That even the people who are part of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and taking over Seattle, ultimately their issue is economics. It's not clean air. It's not racism. They all want more stuff. Where it is. And unfortunately, see, here's why I even bring this to you today. The church has bought into it. Church has bought into it. The church has given charity over to the government. The government says, we'll take care of that charity stuff. Yeah, we'll take care of it. And then what's the church say? Why, it's our duty to pay taxes. We have to pay taxes to take care of the poor. You see it? You see what they did? If they didn't have to pay taxes, if everybody in the church, nobody had to pay taxes to the government, would everybody have more money to give to the church to take care of the poor with some accountability, with some spiritual growth, with some conditions? Wow, huh? Isn't it amazing? Psalm 2, the kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. They've got their own way of doing it, different from what the Lord would do. Go, Jeff.
You see where the mayor of New York City is going to slash $1 billion out of that police department fund and send it into the cities and into the schools. And he said, redistribution.
It's global goals, right? It's right here in front of us, folks. They want this done by 2030. Can I tell you something? This right wing watch is going to pick this one up. I think their goal is to kill off old people because we vote conservative.
Amen.
Why else can you explain Governor Cuomo putting sick people in nursing homes?
Coach.
Yes, Joe.
It's not because we're conservative. It's because we're just old.
That's true, too. We become drains on the system. Hey, Joe, if they kill you, think how much more Social Security they don't have to pay. Think how much more Medicare they don't have to pay. If they just get rid of some of those old people, they'd be getting a lot more money. Right?
You picking Medicare folks, be empty.
you following me, folks? You see what's going on? Do we see what's going on?
Hey Coach.
Yes.
There's a data point. Jesus Christ was crucified between 30 AD and 32 AD. 99% of the scholars. We're coming up on the 2000 year anniversary.
Wow.
That's a data point. You need to ponder what that means.
2030,
Because the spiritual world understands time and calendars.
Mm-hmm. So 0, 0, 30 and 2030.
Well, Coach, here's another thought. Before Agenda 30, there's Agenda 21.
Right.
2021.
Mm-hmm. That's next year. And they're progressing towards that. We ought to check that one out, Joseph. I probably ought to go back and look at Agenda 2021 and see what it was and how many of those goals have fulfilled. Because remember, Marx himself said, I think it was Marx, he said socialism is merely communism in slow speed. That's all socialism is. Just a slower version of communism, of Marxism. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And churches have bought into the communist agenda. Folks, the salt of the world has come into the church. And the church is promoting anti-Christ governmental policies. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.